Tonight we have been praising God in word and song for the miraculous coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was indeed a night of miracles. Heard and considered the miracle of fulfilled prophecy, because the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was not an isolated event, but we're told in the Bible way back in the beginning that the Lord Jesus would come as the seed of a woman. Later on in Genesis, we're told he would come of the tribe of Judah. Later on in Isaiah, we're told he'd be born of a virgin. And Micah tells us that he'd be born in the town of Bethlehem. Some 350 prophecies in the Old Testament are giving in minute detail the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his life and his death. We've also heard tonight of the miracle of the announcement, how that the angelic choir came and sang of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've heard of the star that came and pointed the way to Bethlehem. And then, most of all, we have been considering tonight the miracle of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. And my friend, what a stupendous miracle that was, because heaven is a heaven of holiness. This world is a world of sin and of sorrow. There was divine consultation in heaven amongst the persons of the Trinity. And the question was asked, who will go for us? And the answer comes back from the Lord Jesus. Here am I, send me. And from that moment in time, he determined to come down the ladder of condescension. It's hard to understand and think of sorrow in heaven. Heaven comes to us as a place of joy. But at that time, I believe, there has bound to have been sorrow in heaven. As the Lord Jesus set his foot on the top step of the ladder of condescension, and down to this world of wickedness and of woe. But all these things you've heard of tonight, they happened in history. They happened some 2,000 years ago. But I think that the incarnation of the Lord Jesus is not just an historical event. There must be much more to it than just the trappings of a commercial Christmas that we see today. And my friend, there is something much more, because there is a miracle. There's still a miracle today, in our day and generation. It's contained in the words of John in his Gospel, in just 5 words. Where we have the miracle, it's called the miracle of the new birth, where Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And so today, while we think of these great miraculous happenings of that night of miracles so long ago, let us just for a moment or two think of that miracle that can be wrought out in your life and my life today in this 20th century. And I do pray that tonight would be a night of miracles for you, if you know not Christ, that even tonight you'd come to know him whom to know is life everlasting. Let's just think of those 5 words, ye must be born again. The word ye, there you have the extent of the new birth, because you get some people today and they talk of national rebirth. You hear them talking of trying to have a nation reborn from the ashes of old and out of revolution. But what we're talking about here is a personal revolution, because Jesus Christ spoke to one man, to an individual, to Nicodemus, and he said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And my friend, tonight the salvation of your soul cannot be wrought by proxy. I cannot be saved for you. This church cannot be saved for you. Your mother, your father cannot be saved for you. Your brother or sister, you must come yourself individually. Because the Lord, he focused the attention on one man. He said, Nicodemus, ye individually must be born again. The second word, must. You have the emphasis of it there, because the new birth is not something that is optional. It is a necessity to enter into the kingdom of God, because the Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So therefore, it's not an option. It is a command of God, and the Lord has told us that we must be born again. Now Nicodemus, he was a rich man, he was a Pharisee, he was a ruler of the Jews, he was a man who had a good birth. And yet to that man came the Lord Jesus with this specific message, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And the reason, of course, is simple. If you had 100 or 1,000 good fleshly births, if that were possible, it would not suffice to take away the stain of sin. And so the Lord came to Nicodemus and said, Nicodemus, despite all the goodness of your life, and all the birth, and all the history you have, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. It has to be done because, really, the person who's not a Christian is dead in trespasses and in sin. And there must be a new birth, not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth where we're born again from above. And of course, the greatest argument for the necessity of the new birth is because Jesus, the highest authority of all, he is the one who said, ye must be born again. The third word, be. That is the experience of it, because the new birth is a definite experience. It's not hypothetical. It's not vague. It's not indefinite. It is as real as the physical birth that we had to commence our life here on earth. It is a once-for-all experience. A little child is not born 3 or 4 times in the natural sense. It is born once, and with that birth it enters into this world with life. And for us, the new birth is a recognizable once-for-all experience. It's not to be repeated over and over again. We come once, we accept Christ, we're born again of the Holy Ghost. And that is a recognizable experience because you will recognize in your life that something has changed, because the Bible tells us if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So we're changed. It is recognizable by ourselves, and it certainly will be recognizable to those round about us, because they'll see there's a change in that man or that woman's life, and I can see that they have been to the Lord Jesus. And my friend, it is a blessed experience, because in that experience you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the shedding of his precious blood on the cross, you're reconciled to God the Father. He is the great mediator. He takes the hand of the sinner and he reconciles that hand to Almighty God the Father. So the newborn child in Christ is able to lisp, Abba Father, our Father. And tonight, my friend, I do pray that you will have the experience of the new birth, because when you are born again, then you are in harmony with your great Creator, and you're in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. The word born, that suggests to us the essence of it, because it is called a new birth. It is not a change of habit. It is not a change of the outward. It is a change of the heart. It's not putting on a new coat of religion, but there is a new man wrought by the miracle-working power of the Spirit of God. And my friend, it is a new life. When little baby is born, people will gather around and say, well, it looks like it's mommy, it looks like it's daddy, it has its mother's eyes, its father's hairline, and so on. And they look and they try and see what the likenesses are, the similarities. But really, while it may bear some similarity to those that have gone before, it is a new life, a brand new life in its own right. And my friend, when you come to Lord Jesus Christ, you will have a brand new life. You'll have a complete change, because it is not just a new life, it is a new nature. And in that new nature, you will have a desire for things that you never desired before. And things that you love to fold to your bosom, you will eschew, because you realize you no longer want them. Because God works a miracle in the heart. And you'll find that the very idea as an unsaved person, of going to spend time in a prayer meeting. It would seem so unattractive, so uninteresting. But my friend, when you come to Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find you have new desires. You'll want to do new things because of a transformation of the grace of God. It is a new life. It is a new nature. It is a miracle. We're talking tonight of the night of miracles. Here is a miracle. Now, we had a great old preacher in Northern Ireland. He's dead now, called Pastor Willie Mullen. I remember him giving an illustration. I've never heard anyone better on this particular line. And he said that there were four types of life on earth. You have plant life, the plant life of trees and vegetables and flowers and so on. And then he said you have animal life, the dogs and cats and horses and all the animal kingdom. The third type of life, he said, is a human life, which we are familiar with. And then he says the fourth type of life is spiritual life. And these four types of lives are mutually exclusive. For example, if you want to transplant the life of a rose into a dog or a cat, that would need a notable miracle indeed, because they're mutually exclusive forms of life. If you were to try and transplant the life of a cat into a human being, that would need a notable miracle also, because they are mutually exclusive. And my friend, to transplant human life onto the spiritual plane also needs a stupendous miracle. And thank God he has provided that miracle in what is known as the new birth. The fifth word, again, there you have the evidence of it. Ye must be born again. When a person is born the first time as a natural child, there are certain evidences of life. You pick a little child up, it's warm, it has a heartbeat, and it has the evidences of movement, and so on. You can say it is alive. There's evidence there. And my friend, when you're born again of the Spirit of God, there will of necessity be that evidence. Because there'll be the warmth of spiritual glow, there'll be a heart of love, and while the newborn babe in Christ may not be walking and talking like an adult Christian, yet there will be the evidence that that one has been transformed by the grace of God. And my friend, what a miraculous grace that is. You take the case of Saul of Tarsus, that man who persecuted the church of Jesus Christ even unto the death. And how that one day on the road to Damascus he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And Saul the persecutor became Paul the preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You see, he was transformed by the miracle working grace of Almighty God. And my friend, the grace of God that was seen in Paul's life is the same grace that's seen in the lives of each child of God. And my friend, that same grace can be seen in your life. You're not too hard to transform into the hand of God. God can transform you by his power. So tonight you have to ask yourself, have I experienced the miracle of the saving grace of God in the new birth? Do I have the real thing? Do I have a spiritual life that has come from God? Have I been reconciled to God the Father by the death of his Son? Do I have the real thing? Or do I have a sham? My friend, if you have Christ in the heart, your life will never, ever be the same again. And so tonight, as we have been considering and remembering the night of miracles some 2,000 years ago, it is our prayer that you will experience a miracle this night, the miracle of the saving grace of God, that tonight you'd call out to him, and that tonight you know what it is to be born again of the Spirit of God. May this truly be a night of miracles for you when you experience the miracle of the new birth. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for what we have heard. We bless you, O God, for the story of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the voices we have heard raised in song praising thee. And Lord, tonight we do have much to praise thee for, because thou art a great God and worthy of our praise. Our Father, we thank thee for every soul here who already has been born again of the Spirit of God and knows the truth of the transforming grace of God applied. O God, we pray at this time, help us, Lord, to give our lives wholly, unreservedly, to the service of Christ the King. And Father, we pray if there is one here tonight, not saved, has never yet experienced the miracle of saving grace, O God, we pray that through the messages and song and through thy word, that they would hear clearly the word of God saying, ye must be born again. And tonight, our Father, we pray that thou would draw that one inexorably by the power of the Holy Spirit, and grant, O God, that one would experience the blessing of God in salvation. Lord, this is not something we can do. This is thy work. And so we pray that thou would speak and speak on, and grant this night that some soul would come to have the happiest Christmas of all time, because they came to meet the Christ of Christmas time. Our Father, we pray that thou would part us now in thy fear and with thy blessing. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.